Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on the 10th of June, recording at 9:10 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, let's have a look at what's happened here on this quiet day in the markets for the most part. An exception to that was Japan, which had a strong gain, albeit following that big corrective phase that we've seen over the previous 3 weeks. But today Japan was up nearly 5%, and it was helped by a weaker yen as well. I think it was also profits looking better for the economy, not surprisingly. And as I say, that softer yen, which the dollar, for instance, has risen to 98.68 yen. And elsewhere in the Asian Pacific region, we had main points. Let's see. Well, first, China's closed here, I believe, until Thursday. And the Philippines were the second strongest market. A few more markets up than down. And a good gain here. This is 2.59% for the Philippines, which had seen, again, a pretty sharp downward reaction and partial mean reversion previously. Now, in the European markets, quiet and mixed overall. No big moves. Maybe the biggest is the FTSE MIB, that's Italy, and that was down 0.81 of a percentage point. Now, in the Americas, again, fairly quiet activity overall, although Mexico had a reasonable gain here of 1.2%. Wall Street had been up in the pre-market activity and the early trading, sort of moved back and forth in and out of the plus column before closing with very, very modest declines. And, you know, we're down less than 10 points on the Dow. And the S&P was down. We're still trading here, but it's down. It's still trading here because I get a delayed feed by 20 minutes on the S&P, but it's down, looks like, well, about 1.6%. Okay, elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices eased in here today. And therefore, yields are pushing higher across the boards. Gilts with one of the bigger moves here overall. And that's a continuation of the strong gains that we saw in these fixed interest market yields occurring last week. Now, among currencies, interesting thing is that with the yen's devaluation, controlled planned devaluation at long last, that a number of these other countries have allowed their currencies to weaken, particularly within the ASEAN sector. So Philippine peso is an example. So they have broadly weakened to prevent too much competitive erosion for their economies. An exception to that is China, where the renminbi has remained quite steady overall, quite firm. Now, in commodity markets, not much going on in precious metals. Well, that said, palladium is the firmest by far, up 885. It's by far, that means today, but also over the last many months. Silver is a little bit higher, up 11 cents. And gold, I think it was a little bit up $3.20. Here right now, and platinum up $4. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, First, in terms of stock markets, we had such a good run to the upside, as you know, going all the way back to those November lows, when the rally actually started. We had a number of small pauses and reactions and consolidations. Well, some that were bigger in resources and resources producers. They saw bigger corrective phases, and we saw a corrective phase in the European stock markets, whereas the ASEAN and Wall Street had generally remained at the or near the top of the performance table. And then we had Japan's explosive move to the upside before getting a reactive phase to scale. But you net it all out, and particularly in terms of Wall Street, which is such a big influence on sentiment generally. And what we have is a situation where we saw a slightly larger pullback than the, I think, the four previous little setbacks since November. And it was, of course, occurring from a higher level. And that's a warning that we are in a reactive phase that's likely to persist for a while longer. It may not be all that much deeper in terms of the pullback, but it's likely to see more ranging and mean reversion, and I think it will be somewhat bigger for most stock markets than the earlier pullbacks. That's certainly already been the case for the ASEAN markets and Wall Street, which I just mentioned. Now, since those were the relative strength standouts during other pauses, and ASEAN, for instance, barely blinked during some of those pauses. The fact that they've come off more sharply suggests to me that we have probably seen a number of highs that will last beyond just the short term. Now, part of the background for this is that valuations had become somewhat more expensive. They're not silly expensive, but they're no longer cheap, is the obvious point. There is some concern and speculation over when the U.S. quantitative easing of $85 billion a month gets pegged back a little bit. And forecasts currently ranging, or the majority of forecasts seem to be ranging from September at the earliest to end of the year. Well, no one knows for sure. We do know that this has caused some uncertainty in the markets, as investors conclude that, well, monetary conditions are not going to become more advantageous. If anything, they're going to become a little less advantageous. So that's all part of a little bit more uncertainty and leading to a corrective phase. And as I say, I think this will persist for a little longer here. Now, that's by no means a disaster or alarming situation. I'm not expecting any big bear market, let alone a crash. Expect more ranging and a little bit of perhaps mildly choppy activity. That's my outlook at any rate. Japan remains among big markets, remains a fascinating situation. It's obviously been quite volatile here over the last couple of months, after all those big gains to the upside. And my feeling is that while we have a medium-term top on Japan, this is by no means the end of the whole bull market process that's actually occurring there. So, as I mentioned on Friday, I think Japan was certainly a buy after that big pullback. I think it remains a buy, although it's just off those lows. And I I think it's going to go considerably higher over the medium and possibly even also the longer term. But put it this way, as long as Shinzo Abe and his BOJ colleagues or colleagues at the BOJ, as long as they are held in high regard by the Japanese electorate, this is going to remain an attractive situation for investors. I know there are many people who are casting great doubts on the prospects for Japan and regard the whole procedure as highly risky. Well, in my opinion, the status quo in Japan, that deflationary environment, was the real risk for Japan, that erosion has been halted here. Okay, what else to mention? Precious metals. My hunch is that they're in a support building process, although I'm not tempted to risk further money in backing that view overall. Part of the reason for that is that there is a fear that there's still overhead supply in the markets, and that will impede progress for a while. And also, inflationary pressures have subsided somewhat because we have a soft economy, global economy here generally. And that is regarded as somewhat of a headwind. But as I say, my hunch is that precious metals are, let's take gold and silver, because palladium has already seen a good recovery from its recent low. But the gold and silver, which have seen a much smaller recovery, but nevertheless, that my guess is that they are in a support building process, but it may take, it may continue for some time. And what else to mention? Most commodities, the tone for commodities generally is relatively soft. That reflects the economic outlook generally, which I repeat is soft. And it also means that inflation is not currently a problem. That will cause central banks to be mostly relaxed about providing a little more quantitative easing, which will help to support stock markets, but may not push them up in the short to medium term as much as we had seen really earlier in the year. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.